there's something about controlling something, a massive lump of metal swinging above your head that's X times your body weight. You know, when someone says, oh, you know, I lifted 60 kilograms at the gym last night, I was like, oh yeah, you know, try 2 tons, mate.
Hi, you're listening to the Fun with Bells podcast, where I, Kathy Booth, interview novices and some of the most famous ringers in the world to reveal the mysteries of this heard, but often hidden, art. Today I'm interviewing a lady in her 20s who has fit a lot into her life so far, bell ringing wise. Emily Hall started ringing at the age of 7 and set up the Derbyshire Young Ringers. She went on to be master of her university's bell ringing society. She is currently the public relations officer of a local chained ringing guild and also is a reserve for the Melbourne 12 bell team. In summer 2018, she judged the Ringing World Youth Striking Contest, an impressive resume. But Emily, first of all, I'd like to ask you, what social group were you in at school?
I was part of the Scouts, well, guiding to begin with, and then moved to Scouting community. I was in the choir at school, and more importantly, I did lots and lots of bell ringing from a very young age.
Right. Yes, it sounded like you did from what I heard about you. So can you tell me a bit about how you began the Derbyshire Young Ringers group?
Yes, well, starting ringing at such a young age, I realised that there were other young ringers like me out there, but I couldn't connect with them because they weren't in my local vicinity. So I went and spoke to my parents and I said, I really want to meet more young ringers like me. I know that there are some in the city in Derby, but I was a bit further out. And so they said, fantastic, we'll organise something. And I said, I don't want it to just be about ringing though, because I realised that a lot of kids, if I wanted to sort of get my school friends or my scout friends involved, it would be a really good thing to do, for example, to say, oh, hey, I'm going bowling on the weekend. Do you want to come with me? And then I also said, but we're also going ringing as well. So would you like to join me for the ringing part too? So we always made it fun. So there was like bowling and ringing and laser quest and ringing. I had a lot of help from my parents to begin with. You know, I was terrified of ringing towers up, so my parents used to phone people for me. But you know, it was all my idea to begin with, and yeah, it was great. I met lots of young people, I met some really good friends, and it's still going today, and I don't have to do anything. It's sustained itself, so I'm really happy about that.
That's very good. And were the people that were the other, I mean, you're from a bell ringing family. Were the other people who were bell ringers, were they from bell ringing families, or were there children that just started bell ringing that hadn't been involved before?
It was a complete mix. We made sure that the entire guild knew about it. So, well, it's an association. And, you know, it got sent out in emails, it got sent to all the towers. And it's a really attractive way of, you know, if you've got a young ringer and, you know, you're in a rural town and you've got one young ringer and you really want them to stay involved, you can say, oh, you know, there's this thing that's specifically catered for you. Would you like to go to it? You know, I think it was fantastic. And we had all sorts of ringers and it was a complete mix. You got some people that were just wanted to meet, you know, like me, that just wanted to meet more young ringers in the area because they didn't have them at their own tower. So
I see. Did any of them come from the Duke of Edinburgh wards? That's something that I've heard that some people sometimes do.
Yeah, so I got a couple of my friends from Scouts and school. I taught them to, or helped to teach them to ring. And one of them did use ringing as their skill for the D of E award. It's a fantastic way of getting people involved because once you've, I always think that ringing's like this really, how do I put it? You don't quite know what it's like until you actually go up a tower and experience it. With my friends at university and whatnot, I say, you can't describe it to them and always accurately describe it. And it's more, you've got to experience it. So as soon as somebody is up a tower and they've experienced it, and if it is for them, that's it, they're hooked and they'll keep ringing. So I think it's a really good way of making somebody, well, that sounds really harsh, but it's a really good way of getting someone to stick with a skill once they've learned how to ring a bell and they're learning methods. And it's, you know, you've just opened this new world to them. And I love it when people have just have got the buzz and they're hooked.
So people get, you see people getting hooked.
Yeah.
At what sort of stage? Is it when they first touch the rope, or is it after they've managed to handle the bell and then they see what else they can do with it? Or when do people get hooked?
I think it varies for different people and different, you know, people learn in different ways. So some people are just hooked by the whole culture and the people that are up the towers. They could be hooked before they've even touched the rope. Whereas other people, as soon as they've learned how to ring a bell and they've mastered the, you know, it's like learning how to drive a car. Once you've learned how to drive a car, you can then take your car to racetracks. And it's the racing bit that people love. I can't quite describe it. And, you know, but everybody's different. And unfortunately, it was so long ago for me that I don't remember the first time that I got the buzz. But, you know, I love seeing it in other people. And I love it, you know, when someone's mastered how to handle a bell and they're being introduced to methods and just a new way of, yeah, it's just exciting. I just love people discovering it. It's just, yeah.
Right. And why do you think you enjoy bell ringing so much?
Oh, I enjoy the mental challenge for a start. It's a good balance between listening and also having to concentrate. You know, when you're ringing a peal or a quarter peal, you have to concentrate on one specific thing for a really long time. And I think it's helped me prepare for things like exams, because I've walked into a 3-hour exam and gone, huh, well, it's only the same length as a peal. I can ring a peal. I can concentrate on the same thing for 3 hours. I can ace this exam. And one of the most important things for me are the people. I really, really enjoy. I've made a really good group of friends where I am. And I've made all of my friends have always been, the closest ones to me have always been ringers. I don't know whether it's because we're like-minded, but also diverse at the same time. There's so much to explore. And I love how it's different and everyone has their own thing. Some people will be really good at compositions. It's not something that I'm into specifically, but some people love going and trying to compose compositions, and other people really love ringing really bizarre, obscure methods. And some people really love striking well. And some people just do it because, you know, you get to go to the pub afterwards. So there's just, it's so diverse. I just love how everyone has their own thing.
Right. Getting back to the Derbyshire Young Ringers group, because there were a few more questions I wanted to ask you about that. Did you face any hurdles when did it all go smoothly? You thought of the idea and your parents helped and then it just took off? Or were there any hurdles that you had to overcome?
I think the main hurdles were with my own confidence at the time, with me being so young. I used to sometimes struggle and feel that I wasn't being listened to as a young ringer and that I wasn't being catered for. And with the help and support of my parents, we overcame that itself by creating Derbyshire Young Ringers. They also, the Chesterfield Committee, created a post on the committee for a young ringer's representative, which was really good. And initially, I think I was elected. I held the post a couple of years and it's still going. There's a young lad now, who's currently a representative. And it's really nice that that committee recognised that young ringers wanted a voice and they gave them that opportunity. And I think it's something that a lot of guilds and associations could possibly learn from.
I see. What do you think the young ringers' voice adds to the committee?
For a start, it's a group of people that are sometimes forgotten when it comes to guilds and committees, because people think that a committee is a very adult thing. And they go, oh, you know, you wouldn't be interested. But at the same time, it's like everything in this world. You know, young ringers are the future. And so it's nice that, and it makes them feel involved if you give them a voice and you let them, you know, say what they want to say. And it meant that things became more fun, I think, because whenever they were organising events, I'd always throw in, oh, well, how about we do this? Or, oh, how about we add a Beetle Drive or something fun? And I think it attract, you know, one of the main things that we did was bring the Cayley back to the dinner, because there used to be a Cayley, and I love Cayleys. Everyone loves a dance, and it just kind of fizzled out. And one year, you know, I remember my parents saying, oh, I remember the days that we had a Cayley. I said, why don't we have a Cayley? Just bring it back. And we got a record of number of people attending that dinner. We got over 100 people at that dinner because we brought the Cayley back.
So you it sounds like your enthusiasm and your looking at things fresh means that you're bringing ideas into the group that they may not have thought of themselves. You're sort of reintroducing things that yeah.
I think a lot of the time people are going, oh, you know, remember the good old days when we used to have fun? And they were too busy going, oh, do you remember the good old days? When I was like, just bring the good old days back, you know, make it exciting.
Yeah. Yes. Do you know of any other groups like the Derbyshire Young Ringers?
Yes. There are a few out there. There's the Lilliputters group, and there's also a group on Facebook that's called the Young Ringers Facebook group. And they organise tours every couple of years as well. And also, if you look at the National Youth Competition, all of the teams that enter those must have some form of group or organisation to be able to enter a team. And so the number of people that enter that competition, it's just really nice to see, because it means that there are groups like that out there.
So if I was a mum or dad somewhere and I heard this podcast because, you know, I just happened to put it on. I knew nothing about bell ringing, but I thought, well, that might be something that'd be interesting for my son or daughter to get involved in. How would I find out whether there was something for young people near where I was?
I think the best thing to do would to do a quick Google search and just put bell ringing and whatever area you are in. And the local guild or association should have a website. And if there's nothing on there, then contact the Central Council, look on bellringing.org, and there are lots of people that you can contact through either of those websites.
Right.
And look for local groups from there. Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. How old were you when you started the Derbyshire Young Ringers?
I think I was about 9 or 10. I can't really remember. It was somewhere around that age. It was a bit slow to begin with. It was slow starting, mainly on my part. But as soon as you got a core of people that were enthusiastic about it, it became really to just keep organising it, because, yeah, it was just a thing. People were expecting an event every month or so. And so, you know, you were driven by that expectation to meet it. So
I see. And do you have any tips for if there's a young 9 or 10 year old listening to this, how they might think of doing setting up, you know, any tips that you would have for setting up a group like that?
I think the only thing I'd say is if you want something organised, just go for it and do it yourself. Because, you know, I could have been waiting for years or months for the local guild or whatever to organise these events for me. And I realised that the best thing to do was to go and do it myself.
This is a quick break to thank our sponsors, the Association of Ringing Teachers, ART. You can find out more at bellringing.org, where there are resources to support your ringing, to find out how to learn to ring, or to learn to teach. Now back to the episode.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, speak to your mum or dad and just ask your local tower captain if they've organised any outings or something like that. Ask people for help. But it also gives you so much confidence. Once you've organised that thing, it meant that when I came to university, if someone asked me to organise a tour, I was like, yeah, can do that. Easy peasy. Because I've done it. It's no longer scary or something in my way. But yeah, I think the only thing I'd say is just do it. If you want something done, do it yourself.
Yeah. Right, good.
When you mentioned going to university and then finding that things were easy, but did your bell ringing help when you were applying to university?
I believe it did. There's something really great about having bell ringing on your CV. For a start, it's weird. It's unusual. Not many people have it on their CV. And also there's so much you can say from it. There's teamwork, there's leadership, and there's organisation, particularly if you're organising tours or you're running practices or whatever. And there are all these skills that come from it, and soft skills as well. And it's exactly what people, job applications and the likes are looking for. I think it's a fantastic thing to have on your CV.
Very good, very good. Okay. So talking about when you were at university and you were master of your university's bell ringing society, so you know a fair amount about this. In your experience, do many people take up bell ringing at university, or is it something that they already knew how to do?
Most people are already ringers, but we do have a few that kind of just have a look around the freshers tour and are like, oh, you know, I want to give that a go. That sounds fun. And I think that most people that are like that and have never rung before are always really surprised by how friendly and lovely and normal, I think, the ringing society is. They expect us to be weirdos. And they're always surprised when they get up the tower and they're like, oh, they're just like me. Okay, they're just normal people. Yeah, we have a massive, there are some people that have come from really, really rural towers that don't have a lot of opportunities. And so they love it when they come to university into a city and they're surrounded by slightly better ringing and their progress is pushed and they start ringing things that they never dreamt that they'd ever ring. And there's something brilliant about ringing with your peers. You know, it's why I started the Derbyshire Young Ringers Group. I was fed up with ringing with old people. as lovely as it is. And also, you know, it means that I could, you know, it means that I can have a conversation with anyone. But, you know, there's something quite special about ringing at university and ringing with people your own age. Yeah, and you make friends for life as well. You go out and we go to the NUA. I don't know if you've heard of it. There's
the NUA?
It's the Northern Universities Association. And there's also an SUA, so the Southern Universities Association. And basically, it's a big piss-up. So, yeah, every year, the Northern Universities get together around November time, and each university takes it in turn to host. And we have a striking competition, we have a ceilidh, and we have lots and lots of drinking and lots of ringing. And it's a really good weekend. And so you've made your friends at your university and then you go away and you make even more friends from all the other universities. Yeah. And it meant that Nottingham and Birmingham, for example, have gone on joint outings. And yeah, it's great.
One thing you've mentioned that there was that some people won't know what it is. Could you explain it sounds a bit strange. What's a striking competition?
So it's the way that it's what brings a bit of competitiveness. Is that the right word? To ringing. The aim of ringing, or the aim to get good ringing, is to avoid or mitigate any syncopation. So that's like if you were musical, you'd want your bells to all be crotchets. So you'd want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you don't want any clips or crashes. Everything needs to be nice and even. And so a striking competition is where you have a band and each band rings a test piece and your ringing is marked. So it's negatively marked. So for every clip or crash you make, you get a fault. And the team with the fewest faults wins. Yeah. And it's a great because it means that if you've got a competition coming up, it means that you've got something to work towards and something to aim to. So you find that towers that enter competitions tend to have better ringing because they're constantly and actively thinking about the way that they're ringing. And they're always refining and getting better. Yeah.
Oh, right. That sounds really exciting.
I love it because, you know, again, it's all meeting new people. So you get bands, you get striking competitions in all sorts of divisions and in all sorts of places. So you've got little 6-bell competitions in your local area. And then there's also the national 12-bell competition, which is the largest competition that happens. Where was it hosted this year? Cambridge, I think, wasn't it? Yes, it was in Cambridge. And I wasn't even ringing in it and I turned up because it's a great day out and there's a beer tent and everyone turns up and has a really good day. And you get to meet up with friends that you haven't seen for ages, listening to the best ringing that you will ever listen to. And I just think that it's great, yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. If I were a lot younger than I am now and had just started university, why should I join the bell ringing society there?
You will make friends for life to begin with. Ringers make fantastic friends. You will go out on outings and go to places that you'd never think you'd ever go to. The thing that I love about ringing outings is that you go to these ridiculous towers in the middle of nowhere and you get to visit a lot of the country that you'd never think you'd ever visit. And you get to see some really strange things and some really wonderful things. And you're having fun at the same time. And you're with people that you just, that you love. And yeah, I think that that's a really fun thing to do.
Right. And when you say strange things, what sort of strange things?
You go to places in the middle of nowhere with little thatched roofs and all that's really there is a church and the vicarage. And there's nobody else around for miles. And you go to other places. There have been quite a few places that we've been to and they've had those scarecrow festivals. So you've been driving around the village and you're kind of spotting all the scarecrows as you go or well dressings or whatever. They're always fun to see. Yeah, so you get interrupted by very strange people. You get some grumpy people sometimes that bang on the door, be ringing upstairs and they'll be like, shut up. You'll be like, this isn't even our tower. We're being shouted at. Yeah, I don't know. You get to visit some really bizarre places and meet really strange people sometimes. But I also love it when I go to these towers in the middle of nowhere and the bells haven't been rung for ages because they don't have a local band. And, you know, you come outside at the end and you get these elderly people going, oh, thank you so much for ringing our bells. We really, really enjoyed it. It was really, really lovely. You're like, oh, that's okay, that's okay. And that always makes me feel, I don't know, a little bit warm inside because you've clearly made their day.
One thing you'd mentioned to me was that you thought that ringing is perfect for couples and families. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because, this is going to sound terrible, but you're spending quality time with your loved ones, but you don't have to actually talk to them. It's fantastic. So you don't cause any arguments or issues. If I go, I go on holidays with my parents and my family, and imagine you've spent the entire day with them, and you're getting a bit sick of them because you've had to talk to them all day. Usually when you're on a family holiday, what, you play some board games in the evening, watch some telly, go to bed. Whereas we go out ringing, we meet the local people, and they're usually really useful because they tell you places to visit, places not to visit, where to go next, silly things like that, you know, the useful things that you wish a local could tell you. Well, there you go. So that's tick number one. And also you don't have to speak to your family anymore because you've got other people to talk to. It's great. And then you go home or you go back to wherever you're staying and you think that you've had the best evening spending quality time with your family / partner / whoever. And really, you've just not spoken to them. And it's great. I don't know. It's the sad truth, but I think it's fantastic because it's you're around people that, you know, your family and whatnot, but you're meeting other people at the same time. Perfect.
Sort of shared experience, yeah. Without being just talking.
Yeah. And if you want to, you can make it slightly competitive. See who rings the most court appeals in a year or whatever, or see who makes the best progress or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's something that you've all got in common. If you go ringing a tower and the bells sound awful, you know, it's something that you can laugh about in the car afterwards. Oh, weren't they terrible? Ha, yeah, they were. No arguments. You're agreeing. It's great.
Changing direction a little bit. Do you have any top tips to help someone improve their bell handling or striking technique?
So this is something that I say to a lot of learners, which is the best strikers have good handling. So the first thing to do is sort your handling out. If you want to strike well, get your handling into shape. And another thing is, go out and ring lots of different bells. If you're ringing at the same tower and the same bells week after week, you don't adapt your handling or your striking to suit other bells. So when you go out and ring elsewhere, you might not be able to manage them. So the best thing to do is go out and ring at as many places as you can. Ring tiny bells, ring big bells, go to places where they've got a long draft. I don't know. That's where the bells are a long way up and the ropes aren't guided. They can be quite tricky to ring because if you pull down, the rope can flap. So you've got to make sure that you've got really tight handling to be able to control those kind of bells. Go and ring flighty bells.
What's a flighty bell?
It's similar to a long draft in the sense that it's very difficult to explain, actually. Generally, lighter bells are more flighty because they have less momentum and they're more, it's easier for them to suddenly stop and change direction. So bells with longer drafts and lighter bells tend to be more flighty because they generally have a mind of their own. I'm sure that someone else could explain that in a far better way. But yeah, go out and ring loads of bells, ring heavy bells as well, because they can also be challenging, particularly for small people. People with gravity on their side don't always have an issue, but better technique means that you'll be able to ring heavier bells. And with better technique and better handling comes better striking because you have the ability to put the bell in the right place.
Do you use software or apps to support your bell ringing?
Yes. So in terms of method learning, I have an Android phone, so I use Methodology, which you can get from the Google Play Store, which is really useful.
What does that do?
It has a library of nearly all of the methods, a lot of methods, and you're able to save your favourites so you can get to the ones that you need to know quicker. And you're also able to practice the methods in a couple of different ways. So that's useful. My parents have a dumbbell at home. A dumbbell it's like a bell, but there's no bell.
Right.
I'll explain that further. So it's got all the working mechanisms of a bell, but instead of the bell being there, it's just a weight. Hence dumb, it doesn't make a sound. And on the wheel, it has a sensor, and the sensor gets picked up and goes through into a computer. And the computer makes the ding for you. So we use Able, and a lot of churches also have a similar simulator setup where they've got these sensors on the wheels. And it means that you can ring the bell without it making a noise, and you can fill in the other bells on the computer. So it's virtual ringing, really. It's just you and the computer's filling in the rest of the people for you. And we use Able for that, which is really useful.
And you mentioned that your partners developed a bell ringing app. What does that do?
So far, it's definitely in early days. But the idea is that it will notify people who have the app downloaded in their phone when the next events are in the district. And it also has tower contact details. So it's got a list of all the towers in the district. You can click on it and it will give you a button to go to Google Maps, which shows you where the tower is. And it will also give you tower contact details. So you can ring the tower contact up and book to go ring there or something like that. So it's getting there. but I really like it because it notifies me a day before any district event. So I go, oh yeah, I've got that tomorrow. Should probably turn up to that.
So, and it's just for the Nottingham area, is it?
Yeah. So it's called Nottingham Bell Ringing and it's on the Google Play Store.
Right. Okay. So it would only apply to Nottingham though, wouldn't it? Because it's only got that information in at the moment. But if somebody, I suppose if somebody from somewhere else wanted to do something similar, then they could look at how your partner's done that.
Absolutely. Yes. It definitely can be applied in elsewhere. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, good. Are there any other sources of support or resources that you would point people to?
Yes. So for those people looking at university ringing, there is a website called universityringing.org, which is really useful, and it has information about all of the current university societies. Definitely check that out if you're looking to go to university and you want to know more about the ringing in that particular area. I think that's it.
No, that's good. You've already mentioned some earlier as well, didn't you? So,
yeah. Bellringing.org is a really good one, particularly for non-ringers. That one's really good to check out. And also the Central Council website. If you're somebody who's looking to promote your own tower / diocesan guild, definitely look at the media that the Central Council have, because they've got a lot of posters and flyers that are ready for you to just print out and use. If people are interested in ringing, definitely check out any of those that I've mentioned. Also, don't be afraid to just go and give it a go, because again, like I said right at the very start, a lot of people hear about it, go, oh, that sounds interesting, and never actually go. And it's one of those things that you have to experience. You just have to go up there and give it a go and see whether it's for you, because you never know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and on those lines, does somebody have to be musical or mathematical to be a good bell ringer?
Definitely not. Thankfully, I have a slight musical background, but I know that it doesn't help me in ringing, because I have, you know, some musical knowledge, and I've never used it in ringing. Mathematically, it can help if you're mathematically minded to pick some things up, but to be able to get the gist of ringing, if you can count to 12 and back, okay, I lie, 16 and back, you'll be fine. I say 16 because that's the most number of bells in any one tower. And most towers don't even have 16 bells. So if you can count to 8, you can ring at most bells and you can ring at most towers in the country. I started ringing when I was 7. And for just think of the ability of a 7-year-old, it just goes to prove that most people can do it. Because even as a 7-year-old, you haven't even fully grasped anything that complicated. If a 7-year-old can do it, anyone can do it. There are people that ring up until they're 98. I find that incredible. Yeah, yay. We've got a ringer at the tower.
Wasn't there somebody who was recently congratulated for his 100th birthday? Who was a bell ringer?
Yes, I did hear about that. I think he rang a peal for his birthday.
Yes.
I think that's incredible. We have a ringer who's 80 and he's still learning some quite complicated methods. In fact, it keeps you going. There are very few ringers that you hear of that develop Alzheimer's. I think it's just because you're constantly stimulated and you're constantly learning things. And I think it just keeps the cogs ticking, if that makes sense. You've always got something to think about. And yeah, I love talking to the older members in the towers, because they have so many fantastic stories. There's just so much you can learn from them.
Right. Okay. So apart from the towers that you regularly ring at, what is your favourite ring of bells and why?
Hmm. I always find this a really difficult because I've rung on so many different towers. I think that recently a big first for me was ringing at York Minster. I'd heard a lot of stories about them and a lot of people say that they're really nice bells. And I was going, yeah, right, they can't really be that nice. And then I actually rang there and they are absolutely glorious. And also it was quite a big thing because it's York Minster, you know. Ooh, scary, high profile sort of place. And I think that ringing at Liverpool Cathedral was probably another big for me, just because there's something about that place. You know, they're the heaviest ring of bells ever hung, and they're just so atmospheric, and it's very daunting going up that tower. And yeah, it was terrifying but also exciting, if that makes sense. So yeah,
yes, sounds exhilarating.
Yeah, and there's something about controlling something, a massive lump of metal swinging above your head that's X times your body weight. You know, when someone says, oh, you know, I lifted 60 kilograms at the gym last night, I was like, oh yeah, you know, try 2 tons, mate. You know, there's just something about it. Yeah, you're just controlling that much mass. It's great.
Okay, and then my last question is, has anything remarkable happened to you that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't taken up bell ringing?
Well, I suppose you could probably say everything for me. Ringing wasn't a thing. For a start, I wouldn't even be here because my parents would have never met.
Right.
My parents were both ringers before they met each other. And it just so happened that mum's practice was cancelled and dad's practice was cancelled. And they were both recommended going to this other tower. And they both turned up. And in my dad's words, apparently my mum wore a miniskirt. She turned the tenor in really well. And she drank more points than him in the pub afterwards. And he was really impressed. So yeah, that for a start. And yeah, I'm probably meeting my own partner. Yeah, because I wouldn't have met him had I not started ringing in Nottingham. So
right. He's a ringer, yes, as well.
He's a very good one.
Right.
no rivalry between us whatsoever.
I'm sensing that you like the competitive side of bell ringing.
I enjoy friendly competition because I think that it gives you've got to have something to aim towards. And you could always be that little bit better, if that makes sense. You know, you could always just be perfect. That's what I'm striving for. I know that it's impossible, but, you know, you could always try and be perfect.
That's great. Thank you very much indeed, Emily.
Thank you.
That's been really, really great. Thank you.
Thanks to my guest, Emily Hall, who has given us great ideas on how to involve more youngsters in your area and an insight into striking competitions. Next, we have a short section where your questions are answered by an expert in the world of bell ringing. Today, Pip Penny, the driving force behind the Association of Ringing Teachers schemes for learning the ropes, provides the answers.
Hi, Pip. How's it going?
Oh, hi, Kathy. Good, thanks. How's it with you?
Yeah, not bad. Having lots of fun with the podcast. We're getting to interview a lot of very interesting people. But there's people who've got lots of questions for you. But we've just got one question today. Charlie has emailed us and says, there are often a lot of people at my practice night. Is there anything I can do to improve my ringing whilst I'm sitting out?
Yes, Charlie, there's lots you can do to improve your ringing while you're sitting out. You can stand behind a bell and see if you can hear it ringing in rounds. You can sit behind the treble and see what leading sounds like, watching the treble go on the opposite stroke to the tenor. You can stand behind the tenor when the tenor's covering to a doubles method or to plain hunt on five and see if you can find the bells he's following. And when you start to learn to plain hunt, you can stand and watch what the treble's doing and what the tenor's doing. And likewise, once you move on to methods, you can stand behind a ringer and see if you can follow the rope sight. The other things you can do is you can listen to a bell. Choose a certain bell you want to listen to and shut your eyes sort of thing or look away and focus on the sound of that bell and then see if you can count its place in the row. And say they're ringing call changes, if you're following bell three and it moves either up a place or down a place, see if you can identify the sound in the new place. So you're counting the new place. The other thing you can do is you can, if you're at the stage of learning some theory, you can practice your theory when you're sitting out. And the other thing you can do is when you're learning methods, you can learn your methods when you're sitting out. So there's a lot you can do. What you really shouldn't do is just go on your smartphone and do something that disengages you from the ringing. You should try and engage with the ringing at all times.
Thanks to Pip Penny for her answers to your questions. Please let us know your questions and send comments by emailing me at funwithbellspodcast@gmail.com. You can also send me an audio file of your question to be played on the show. More information, photographs and links can be found in our show notes at www.funwithbells.com. I'm Kathy Booth. This podcast was put together by a team. A special thanks go to Leslie Belcher, Nick Boyd, Anne Tansley Thomas, John Gwynn, Sue Hall, and the Society of Cambridge Youth for the recording of their ringing. If you're in Britain and are interested in learning to ring, then please go to theringingteachers.org or, for handbell ringers, hrgb.org.uk. Both websites have links to help you get started. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Fun With Bells. Do let me know that you've listened to the show. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. This is one of the many podcast directories where you can listen and subscribe for free. And if you've enjoyed it, please consider posting about it on social media so that others can find it. Next on Fun with Bells.
It really is a unique art that we have down in Devon and one that we really are trying to keep alive by bringing more people in. But also what we want to do is try and show people across the country that it is very different.